Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to another episode of the QuakeCast. I'm RC, and with me this week, well, you know him, you love him, it's Dump Truck.
Hello, everyone.
I mean, really, Dump Truck, you should be doing the intro here because I haven't been here for a while, right?
No, people want to hear your voice, not my goofy voice.
That's not true. They love you. Guys, something exciting. Not only am I back for an episode here, but this is the last QuakeCast of the year. This is the last QuakeCast of 2019. It's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah, should old acquaintance be forgot? Exactly. Merry Christmas, you old savings and loan. Never mind. Okay.
Merry Christmas, movie house. Yeah, absolutely classic. But all that aside, though, guys, Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Hope all of this stuff went well for you and everybody's happy and doing well. Today, we're interviewing Virka. He is a this past year, very prolific mapper who created an amazing co-op map that me and Dump Truck actually played earlier this year.
Yeah, that was a hoot. And if you have not seen that that video, you need to go to RC's channel as soon as possible to watch it. It's a fantastic, very unique map, beautiful looking, and just a one-of-a-kind unique experience. So we had a blast playing that. So we're happy to ask him about that map today. And also, he's involved with the Finnish Mapper episode jam, and there's a few different developments and things that we're going to dive into in this interview. So all that and a whole lot more.
I got it from an older friend backed in on 14 diskettes. And I've redeemed myself since I've got myself a legit copy.
Mm-hmm.
I installed Quake World probably the day it released later that year. And it's been on my computer ever since.
Wow.
No.
Good, that's
man.
Awesome. That's impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, and also the 14 diskettes, that's kind of extreme, but that's yeah. I mean, I totally would do that myself if I was in the same boat.
It was packed with ARJ, which was used before ZIP came along.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's some old school stuff.
I was going to say, yeah, and you had to span the whole thing across those 14 disks. Yeah. That's crazy. And the people are like, "Oh my god, what are these boomers talking about?"
Okay, boomer.
Yeah.
And so when Team Fortress was released, I immediately switched to it and skipped the whole deathmatch stuff. And I almost had to do my last semester of school again because I was too busy playing Team Fortress. I was practicing, fiddling with Worldcraft. I did skins, I did websites for clans and aliases for configs. I was hooked hardcore.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, at that point, you didn't need school anyway. You're doing all this stuff. You're educating yourself, so...
Yeah, can't imagine a harder place a teenager to put in, so he would have to do a re-class or redo a semester.
So was Quake the game that got you into making customized maps and customized content, that kind of thing?
Well, I don't think I managed to do any maps. I remember I put in the teleporter texture, and I was wondering why didn't it teleport anywhere. The Worldcraft wasn't that well documented anyway, and there wasn't many guides around in 97, I think.
Right.
Yeah, and it's not, Worldcraft is not very intuitive anyway, just to begin with. It's like, what am I looking
at?
What am I
better than Quark?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
definitely. Sorry, mappers geeking out over here. So now obviously you have a community in Finland of dedicated Quakers, right? Because it seems like you have your own servers and you have a kind of a group there. So tell us about how, you know, your LAN parties and your server admining and your part of the world.
Yeah, well, the first Quake LAN I was in, there was only two guys aiming with the mouse because it was such a new thing back then. Wow. Everyone else aimed up and down with page up, page down.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't need to say that those guys lose.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, that's how I first played, though, too. Page up and page down to look up and down. And
The Lavapiton hard selection in start map was really hard back then. Because jumping was a new thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't jump in Doom at all, or Wolfenstein.
Did people bunny hop way back then, even back then?
No, it was discovered later. Can't exactly remember when, but it wasn't a thing then. Some people bunny hopped when Team Fortress was on the scene.
So, Verka, with Team Fortress, since you were almost missing school over it and everything, what was your class of choice with that?
I was a defense soldier by heart. I'm always been a defender of some sort. I'm always a healer or goalie or anything. So defense was
always support.
Yeah.
That's good, though. We need more of those people.
Well, let's talk about what you're here to pimp. We've got this fantastic project. It goes by a few different names, but SMEJ is one of them. And that's an acronym for Suomi Mapping Episode Jam, right? Or Suomi Mappers Episode. Okay, so
Finnish
tell us.
Mapper episode, if you wish.
Yeah, it's the Finnish Mappers episode. And also what? Realm of Darkness or something, too?
Realm of the Lost.
Of Realm of the Lost, okay.
Or Kingdom of the Lost, we haven't exactly decided on it yet.
Okay, so for now it's SMEJ.
Yeah, or Menetettyjen Valtakunta.
Oh, that's easy for you to say. so tell us how that kind of started. I mean, it's such a, and for people that haven't seen anything yet, well, I'm sure we're going to have some videos and all kinds of stuff, and I guarantee you people are going to be talking about this thing because it's pretty stellar.
It all started in Sembernaut's Twitch chat. Newhouse asked me if I were a Finn and would I be interested in a Finnish mapping jam. I was pretty sure it was a joke, but I said yes anyway.
Then Newhouse does not joke, no. He's... takes Quake very seriously.
So some time passed and I DM'd him, how about the jam and how about we made an episode. So he was immediately into it, as was I. So we gathered some Finnish people. We may have skipped a few, but that's just because we didn't know they were Finn or they are a Finn. We have 8 mappers, well, 8 maps and a start map. And we have a special composer with us. Because it turned out Imorfer's parents are Finnish.
Oh, sweet. So, that's cool.
So we took him in. He made, I think, 7 new tracks for this episode, 5 of which will be released as a music video on his channel. And then he remixed Finlandia hymn for the start map and for the trailer video.
And is that your anthem, national anthem?
No, people would like it to be our national anthem, but it isn't.
Oh, I see. Just a really popular kind of song. So it's kind of a national pride type of deal.
Yeah, I don't think they would so easily change national anthems anywhere.
Definitely not.
So should I just list the mappers and maybe?
So Virka, yeah. How many maps are you going to have in the pack?
7 plus secret map.
Ooh. Okay. And how many of those have you developed for? Like, is it more of a team dynamic where all of you are sort of like adding little pieces to each map, or do all of you like complete a full map?
At the start, there was a plan that everyone would make one map and knew how it's divided, who would make each map. Then later I volunteered to make a start map. I have a pretty good idea for it. I changed the theme for like 4 or 5 times, then ran a wall with it, and Smileside picked it up and continued it, and then we threw it back and forth for a while. And now it is what it is.
So what's it like to, because I know you've made other maps now, but what's it like to collaborate like that? Because I've yet to do that.
it is really fun. At the start, Newhouse picked some texture packs for each one, so that there would be a progression throughout the episode. And he made some prefabs for everyone, but I didn't use them. And I'm not sure if anyone did. They were there. The original plan was for each map to be in 6 or 8 minutes. And I can tell you they aren't 6 or 8 minutes. They're quite a bit longer.
Well, I'm trying to multitask here and send... I completely forgot to send RC the video so he could take a look at some of the maps. But I'm going to send that to you, RC. Basically... You've got a good multiplayer component in this thing. In the video, you'll see co-op, and you know, I don't know about deathmatch. I think there's co-op in there. So talk about you know, because you have such a good tight knit community over there of just a few people, but don't you have a core group of people that play multiplayer on a regular basis? Correct?
Yeah, I play with Ziggy, but none of the other people in this episode really played with us. Smileside has now played with us, but none of the guys aren't really a multiplayer guys.
I see. Well, we've got to change that. I think 2020 we should really have a focus on multiplayer. Get these mappers out of their shell. So what was your favorite thing about working on the jam? What was the most enjoyable part of it?
Maybe all the planning. And managing all the stuff, I'm so into it, all that kind of managing and planning and all that stuff.
So basically just kind of the overall process and keeping track of everything.
Yeah, the first deadline we had was 1 month.
Wow.
And I was only one to finish in that time. Yeah.
Overachiever.
But see, that's what happens when you're working on something you care about. You want to put that extra time in. You know, it's like you compare yourself to when you were a kid. You were talking about missing school. I know I miss school for games and stuff like that too. But when you get older and you're actually working on things you like to work on, you don't mind putting in that extra time. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about your co-op map, because RC and I did it was on RC's channel, and I was just kind of along for the ride, but it was a fun ride. Talk about how that map came about, because it's really clever, and there's a lot going on that I've never seen in any other Quake map, you know, or game for that matter.
Yeah, I really like the series called We Were Here, and it's a co-op puzzle where you have to describe things to your partner or do what he tells you to do. And I really like the concept. There's not many possibilities in each one to do that kind of thing. But 4 puzzles is all I got out for that thing. I may have a few more, but so few people played the map. I don't know.
I mean, I got to say it's like quality over quantity, though, because, I mean, that was one of the high. Honestly, I'm not just saying this. This is that was one of the highlights of my year. because I mean, weren't we, I mean, that was a hoot. I mean, we were laughing our asses off. We were,
I remember, oh my God. Yeah. I was laughing. So I remember specifically like us trying to get that elevator thing to work and you falling in the lava. And like, I was dying laughing when that happened. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a hoot. So if anyone who hasn't, you know, don't watch the stream, you should download it and try to just even I will say locally, if someone, you know, you can have a friend over and play Quake on a network, that would be really fun too.
But definitely watch the stream.
Yeah, oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, this, the stream is pretty entertaining because we're so, I mean, at least I was super lame. And we weren't really like having a really good, we didn't have a lot of good communication because you're like, yeah, this twisty thing over here. I'm like, yeah, sure. Where, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I think one of the hardest parts, one of the coolest parts of that was when you were up on the ledge looking down over the maze and trying to get people to go through the maze. That was very clever, the way you constructed that.
I redid the maze like 12 times, I think.
Wow.
It took me 2 weeks to make that room.
Wow, yeah, because it was, there's a lot going on, and then once you solve it, you're still like, wait, how did I do that? how did we solve that? Now go over there. Oh, wait, no, you just teleported. But no, it all makes sense, and it's really fun, and I would love to see more of that for sure, just from the community.
Yeah, the video has missed. There were some skipped frames at the end, and the video skipped the last room message that was in the map.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
too really.
Yeah, now we got to play that. Now we got to play the whole thing again.
Oh,
yeah. There is a way for you both to get out.
Nice. Yeah, I'm having a small New Year's Day, I think it is. And we're gonna play nothing but Quake and maybe some Quake 3. And I will make sure and have that on the playlist. Because that's a really fun experience.
You should pair people up and do a race, like, you know, which couple could get through this first. You know?
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. Yeah, it's a great idea.
Just remember it needs Quake World physics.
Yeah, no worries. I've got a handle on it, man.
He somewhat knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
hey, Verka, I wanted to ask you for that map. Since co-op isn't really much of a thing for Quake lately, and this was inspired by another game, I'm very curious to know like how you tested this to kind of make sure that the... Because me and Dump Truck were able to get through what we got through with, you know, with trial and error and such, but we got through it. And it seemed like that probably took so much testing on your side to get to that point.
I just tested with Ziggy. He's so good at that. There's no better tester. If anyone's looking for a tester for his map, he's messaged Ziggy.
Yeah, and Ziggy has a YouTube channel. He's super prolific. I mean, he's playing all and posting all the time. I can't even keep up with his videos.
He's a great guy.
I've been adding them to my channel's playlist whenever I can, so it's very cool.
Yeah, so I'm hosting servers, Quake World servers, so it's pretty easy for me to upload a new version like every hour and tell him to come whenever he's able.
Nice.
But there's nothing much to it. You just need a friend.
Well, I'm out of luck there.
That's true. Now, Q, you got a friend in me soundtrack. Well, the co-op map is great. I recommend everybody play it. Definitely watch the stream. Watch how stupid me and Dump Truck were in it. But I also want to talk about a map you came out with at the beginning of this year called Black and Call, because Dump Truck and I both played through this on our channels as well. And I thought that this was a great little single player map because it sort of has a lot of the modern design for Quake, what modern mappers are bringing to it. But it's not a gigantic, you know, 400 enemy map, which for me is refreshing because I feel like majority of the time when people start out with a map, they try to go as big as they can to impress everybody. But you kind of opted for a more smaller experience, which I really enjoyed. Can you talk about Black and Call a little bit, the development behind that?
It's so small because it was the first map I've ever made. It was Christmas Day last year when I joined the Quake map in Discord. I picked up Trench Broom, fiddled it with for a while, and then I think it was middle of January when I released the map. It took me 2 weeks to make, and that's about it.
Wow, 2 weeks, that's impressive, because it's personally, like I said, I think it's a really well-made map, and I always like downloading a map where, you know, you could actually get through it in a quick sitting where you're like, oh, that was fun, and you even want to play through it a second time to, like, you know, check out secrets and find little alcoves you maybe didn't see before, because it's just a nice, quick experience. So for 2 weeks, though, that's really impressive.
Yeah, I'm the kind of guy who doesn't stop until it's finished, whatever it is.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah, I remember, I didn't know it was made in 2 weeks. That's really cool. And for a first map, it is solid. It has a really nice attention to detail. And that doesn't surprise me. I mean, we'll talk about your real life career in a minute. But it doesn't surprise me that you're kind of interested in those details and really finishing off, you know, the finish work. In other words, like trims and just lighting and everything. So very, very impressive first outing for sure.
Yeah, speaking of, about first map, there are two first timers in the episode.
Yeah, let's run down who's involved. So you have, we have Smile Scythe, Ziggy, yeah. Mazu, and who else do we have? Do
you know? Newhouse, Ukko, Night Elevator, and Inging.
Oh, Inging. Inging is Finnish. Cool.
Yeah.
Or Swomi. am I saying that right? Suomi?
Yeah.
Suomi?
Suomi.
Suomi. Yeah. That is the real word for Finnish, by the way, RC and listeners. That's
I like it.
That's what they call each other. And it means big swamp, right? Does that want to translate to or something? No. Swampland?
Swampland?
No, I'm serious. I saw that. I did some
translates
research.
To scary swamp person. That's what it is, right? Swamp
Sorry.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry about that.
I love it. We're keeping that in, by the way.
Yeah. just so everyone knows, I'm blushing like crazy right now.
You're really the great white
well, cool, though.
On the old continent.
Say again?
We are really the cold, white north on the old continent.
Cold, wet north. That's funny.
So the new people, how have they been working out, sort of melding with you guys who have been mapping for a bit?
So Smile Scythe, he has been posting screenshots on the mapping Discord every now and then. And he's on a Finnish arena FPS Discord, so I knew he was a Finn. And Ziggy is the another first timer. I lured him in, so saying he can do the secret map. He hadn't never opened a trench boom before. Never. He downloaded it for this episode. Used his whole summer vacation for this.
Wow.
A whole month.
I feel like we've heard that from quite a few mappers before. People take their vacation and just map over the whole thing.
Yeah. Which,
man, dedication. That is cool.
Yeah, that used to be me. I'm looking at some of these screenshots. They are pretty impressive, the Smile Scythe's screenshots. Say that 10 times fast. So and as I said earlier, I don't mean to hype this up too much. I really don't think I can hype it up too much, because this is going to be a really special pack. So good for you all, you know, that are involved in this thing, because it's going to kind of come out of nowhere right at the end of the year. And I'm so excited.
30th of this month is the release date.
I'm sorry, the 30th?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, we're going to hold you to that. That's awesome. So now you have another project that you wanted to talk about, correct? From another mapper?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Newhouse. His blue episode will be released in 15th of January.
Ooh, 15th. All right, so he's giving it a little bit of air between the two. That's good.
He ran us short on time because of this and Halloween Jam, and he was doing lots of stuff.
Yeah, he's got a full dance card, as they say in the States. If you're a boomer.
Just keeps coming back. So, the blue episode, January 15th. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Wow. Hopefully.
We're going to hold you guys to that because we've been waiting for this for quite some time. And Dump Truck even put out that trailer for it.
Yeah. I know that Newhouse did not intend to do that, but honestly, I've played it. It's going to be worth the wait. It's really fun. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot different than the Finnish Jam as well, you know, because it's just one person's vision in blue and the blue episode. Whereas you've got a kind of joint, you know, completely different kind of vibe with this other episode. So this year was supposed to be the year of the episode, but it just didn't end up working out that way. We got Underdark Overbright from Lunaren and Scampi, and then we got a mini episode from Ubiquitous, which is really good and people should play it if they haven't, called Of Three Plantagenets. Did you play that one, RC? I don't think you did because it probably came out around baby time.
Yeah, it might have came out during baby time, but it sounds really familiar, almost like I was going to play through it, but I'm not sure.
That was the one, to refresh your memory, that was the one that had the kind of the classic paintings, the masters, you know, like Caravaggio and, you know, I don't, some of these master painters, and he put the paintings into the level, and it sounds like it wouldn't work, but the way he did it, it worked really, really well. So it's an interesting, it's just an aspect of the pack. It's not really the main thrust or anything, but definitely gives it a unique feel. But that was a cool little mini episode. I think there were three maps in that one. And they're pretty epic maps, so it was a pretty beefy pack.
I didn't know that this year was supposed to be year of the episode. Is that something I missed?
That's just a Funk message board thing where I think if I'm not mistaken, One True Purple made a post on Funk like, "What? Hey, let's make this year the year of blank," you know. And that does come up.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That does come up from time to time. So last year, 2018, was supposed to be the year of the mod. So if more people, because people weren't doing a lot of mods, so they did a mod jam last year. And that's coming back, by the way, from what I understand. There's going to be another mod jam, which is cool because I'll actually be able to probably do something because I've been working on Quake C. So I'm hoping I can be involved in that in some way. But so 2018 was supposed to be the year of the mod. And yeah, pretty much a few mods came out. And then this year was supposed to...
You could just pick a thing and go like, it's the year of that. And then a couple come out and you're like, see? See,
I want next year to be the year of a lot of like tons of sex.
Is that Quake related? I don't know.
No, that's not how it works. Okay, never mind.
I love the clumsy title too. The year of tons of sex.
I think I need more coffee or something. I don't know what's going on?
Yeah. But we're hitting an M rating on this podcast now. I'm very excited to see this blue episode, though. I saw the trailer. Newhouse every now and then has been messaging me on Discord and just being like, "It's coming. Check out this screenshot." And I'm like, "Why do you keep teasing me?" He's been doing this for like 2 years now.
Yeah, pretty much. Same here. Yeah.
But that's great, though. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what that is all about. Because Newhouse, man, he always comes out with like interesting ideas for his maps every time. And sometimes, you know, it's not a great map because he was experimenting. And I think that says a lot about somebody's character, you know, that they're willing to put out a map that not everybody is going to like because it's so different, you know. He's definitely in the past few jams that I played anyway, where he'd have a map in there and I'm like, I'm not sure I completely wrap my head around this, but I'm glad that he released it this way because it's different, you know?
Yes, I agree.
Thank you.
Verka's like, so, no, I hate his maps. I just came on here. I hate that guy. He's such a jerk.
I was going to lead that into a question for Verka about, you know, what his approach to mapping is, because you've released a few maps this year, and all of them are, you know, seemingly different from each other. You know, you have a single player map, you have this like really in-depth co-op map. So when you approach a map, when you get into it, do you have a goal in mind? Do you have an approach, or do you kind of just see what happens?
I don't usually plan. I have an idea in my head, like Black and Gold started with the end horde fight. That was the only thing I had in mind when I started it. So I ran in wars sometimes because of that. I should plan, but nah. I'd rather do than plan.
Yeah, exactly. So now, switching gears just a little bit, you are on the National Board Game Society or something?
No, I'm Finnish sorry. Board Game Society.
Finnish Board Game. Nice. So now are you the president? Do you like make everybody?
No, I'm just an active member. I do volunteer work for conventions and stuff like that.
Nice. That's very cool. So now what does that all entail? Like testing new board games or just competitions and tournaments and things like that?
Competitions, regular conventions, stuff like that.
What's your favorite board game right now anyway? I don't think you could pick one.
I think I can pick a specific game. Board games are usually described by their mechanics, and I'm into Euro and abstract games.
Euro?
If that,
Euro?
Yeah. Euro.
What is it? What would that make? What would that, how would you describe a Euro game?
Yeah. No player, distractions, just resource management and that kind of thing.
Interesting.
So, yeah, no war or anything.
I see. So more like homework.
That's right.
You guys are against fun.
It is fun.
See, I'm kidding. No, war sucks.
This is why our economy isn't doing well in America, because we don't enjoy it.
Exactly. Oh man. So what's a hot board game this year though? Like what is everybody talking about and freaking out about?
Wingspan.
Wingspan.
Huh. Yeah. Wingspan. It's a board game about birds.
Oh, I love
that. It's exciting, right?
No. Hey, I actually love birds though.
Yeah.
Wingspan. Let's see. I'm looking this up.
Building game.
I see.
Yeah, there was a board game that my wife and I played. It was a two-player board game. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was a Norse mythology board game where two birds were racing around a track, basically, to get back to Odin or something like that. But we really enjoyed it because it had birds. We're animal lovers, so we might have to check out this Wingspan game.
Oh, dude, yeah. I love the dice tower is so cool. That is pretty rad. I love it. It's a birdhouse. Yeah. I love it. That's cool. Yeah, see, we don't play enough board games, you know, in our home, but unfortunately, we have such a limited palette. And my wife, I've come to enjoy Scrabble. My wife loves word games, anything with words. So Boggle, Scrabble, just kind of the standard ones. But we have Bananagrams. I don't know if you've ever played that, but yeah, I don't care for that game because there's no interaction with the other person. It's just pure competition. It can be really fun if you have like a group of four people or, you know, but that's not my favorite.
So you're what they call an Ameritrash player.
Yes.
with lots of player interactions and hero powers and stuff like that, fantasy things, dungeon crawlers.
Well, I like Monopoly.
That's not a game.
Are you a purist and you don't like Monopoly?
Yeah, I'm not.
Free parking and everything, man. That's me. I just
Baltic Avenue, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, also when my youngest was really young, he would only want to play Sorry, which to me is it's the most boring game ever. But he loved it.
Like all those classic American board games are pretty bad at this point. The only one that's fun is Trouble because you can pop the bubble thing, but that's about it.
Really?
The rest of it, like Candyland is not fun, you know?
No, that's...
Game of Life is not... It's all random. It's just, ugh.
Yeah.
Roll to motion.
And actually... By the way, the game I was talking about earlier is called Odin's Ravens. It's a two-player game where you each play as a raven and you race around a track you make out of cards, and it's a lot of fun, so I recommend it.
That is cool. I'm going to check that out, too. Check that out. I must have misspelled... Oh, here it is. Oh, yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's really easy to learn, and you can develop different strategies with cards and everything. You can make shortcuts with the cards. It's a lot of fun. I recommend it.
You made a game, RC, right?
It's true, I did.
Tell us about your game.
quick plug, yeah. Colossal Blob. It's kind of a Uno-style game, I would say, where you play as a blob who's growing, and your goal is to become the biggest blob out of the other ones, the Colossal Blob. It's a fun game for kids. A lot of the people who have bought it say their kids love it. So if you have kids if you're looking for a good starter game, I think that's a great game for them. Odin's Ravens, man. A lot of fun.
Cool.
So Verka, sounds like you sort of got your hands in a lot of different nerd pots, we'll say, you know, like from Quake mapping to board games. What else are you up to these days besides those things?
I'm on disability pension. I'm special in the every kind meaning of the word. So I don't have to work anymore. By trade, I am a carpenter. And I almost had a job in the States.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so, whereabouts in the States?
Southern Carolina.
Oh, cool.
There was this company asking from my school if they knew anyone who knew Finnish design. The company made bedroom furnitures, so beds, nightstands, cabinets. All that kind of stuff. The school gave them my contact, and the next thing I knew, I was flying to the States.
Wow. Was that the first time you had come over here?
Yeah. Never been over Atlantic before.
Wow.
Okay. What did you think?
South Carolina, man.
Yeah.
It was different. I can tell to you that.
Now, were you near was it near the ocean where you went, or?
No. It was more in the mainland. But the company wasn't aware how many permissions and everything they need to process and pay just in order to get a foreign worker.
They turned you around and put you right back on the plane.
But I was in the States for 2 months and they paid for it. So
that's great, though. I mean, that's
got no problem with that.
And it is beautiful there. I mean, I've only been to North Carolina, but I have a friend from South Carolina. It is gorgeous, or it can be.
Yeah, depends on where you're at. If you're by the beach, it's amazing.
Right. Right.
I'm interested, despite the travel, though, interested to hear about the furniture, though. So what do you create? You create all kinds of different furniture, or do you specialize in a certain thing?
Well, I know Finnish and Japanese design. They are quite similar. So they wanted to make something that represented Scandinavian design, which is basically just no curves, just straight lines.
Oh, wow.
Like in Quake.
I was going to say. That's great, though. I mean, I've never been really handy or had much experience, but I'm hoping to build a doghouse in the new year. But we need dogs first. But I'm not going to make any curves on this thing. So, but that's great though. How young did you start? Like, did you start as a kid learning all this stuff and you just kind of grew into a career?
Well, I didn't start woodworking as a kid properly, but I was a huge Ninja Turtles fan. And I spent most of my time in the garage doing like ninja weapons and all that kind of stuff. So
that's pretty cool.
It always starts with ninja weapons. That's what I always say.
Throwing stars and everything.
That's pretty rad.
So is this a situation where I could say like, hey, I want you to build this chair and then you could build it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's talent, my friend.
Now, do you design the chair or you just start chopping at the wood like your maps?
Well, I usually keep some designs in my head. And mm-hmm. when someone asks for something, I just do one of them. But I do some research if someone wants something specific. It's not that hard, really.
Says this guy. What is the most difficult request someone has given you? Like something you had the most hard of a time with?
I don't really know.
Were they like, make a chair in this style with this type of upholstery and you got to find like different patterns and stuff, or maybe a certain table that they were like, hey, you know, I want this table to have this type of wood, but look this way. Do you get requests like that?
I've made two statues. Maybe one of them is there.
Wow.
They must have been the hardest work.
So, carpenter and sculptor in a way then.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing. The material, only the material change.
That's true. Very cool, man. That's awesome. my dad is actually a carpenter and he's retired now, but I think the coolest thing that he built was like a really sweet looking birdhouse. So I don't think he ever got around to like, you know, professional tables and chairs and stuff like that. He mainly built houses and buildings and such.
Yeah. I do more of that fine woodworking. It's more of my thing.
Well, so is there anything else we didn't cover?
Well, for the episode, we use copper. That didn't come up, I think.
Okay, cool. So what's your take on copper? Because it does kind of revolutionize a few things, quite a few things. But it still feels like vanilla, which I love.
It's the best thing ever, I think.
What's your favorite thing about it?
Spawnables, states.
Everybody.
I think. And the super nail gun change is good, I think.
Is it less powerful? I know that he beefed up the firing rate on the nail gun, but I can't remember what the super nail gun.
Spread.
Oh, I see.
There's
okay.
Spread for it now.
Got it.
It's not a sniping tool anymore.
Cool. Now, have you played multiplayer with that?
It's a Netquake mod, so it's just not possible.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Because Quake World procs are different than
Quake. Right. Interesting. Well, cool.
And it's not just playing copper. We added a console pack, of course, and a character set that includes the Finnish characters.
Nice. Nice.
Because the map names are in Finnish.
Oh, great. So I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing him when I play him.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of time to rehearse. Yeah, I'm looking at the map names because someone secretly sent me the pack. And yes, we have Tsistpohjoisin.
That's the Pohjoisin.
Say again?
North from here. Testapohjoisin.
And then Valovoimialmal.
Valovoimala.
You were close on that one, actually.
I was getting there. I was on my way. Pakashiran Palazzi. Sounds like Italian.
Pakashiran Palazzi.
Ah, so I said Palazzi right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pakasharan Parlatsi. And then we have Turskin Avoitius. Avoitius?
Turskin. Turskin
Avoitius. See, I didn't.
Oh, wow.
I think I need.
you gotta get that role in there.
Yeah, I need an intervention on this thing. And then I don't even know.
There are English names in the readme, that is correct.
Okay.
So you don't have to know what they mean.
Okay, cool. So wait, which one is yours again? What's the name of yours?
Tereksen Arvoitus is mine.
Okay. I'm gonna launch.
And all the maps include a Finnish reference or reference for being a Finn. They are all secrets, I think.
Are you guys?
They're all described in the readme.
Wow. I love Amorpher. Amorpher's music's so good. He's so good.
Yeah.
It's so quick. It's more Quake than Quake.
And he didn't just do music, he also did sounds.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm not going to subject you guys to that, but it looks fantastic. This is going to be very special. So, I'm going to urge everyone to take a look at some of the videos and definitely download it when it's released on the 30th. I think this is going to make big waves when it comes out. Just a little bit I've seen from the video and just loading that up just now. Really, yeah. Really and nice looking.
I think it's so cool that it's from our Finnish friends in the community as well. I think that's great.
So Virka, any parting words?
Well, I'd like to give the most respectful nod to everyone in the NetQuake and QuakeWorld communities, and a hat tip to everyone who used to play on Gizmo.fi. You all have a special place in my blackened heart.
This is RC. Thanks for listening to the QuakeCast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dump Truck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for Dump Truck _DS.
You guys talk about farts too much. It's not funny.
Yeah, man. Like,
what is your crutch joke? Like, what do you always fall back to? Is it poop or farts or what?
That's a great question. What is my fallback?
Because everyone's got one.
Yeah, I usually do the fart sound with my hand.
Okay. Yep.
That's a good one. Yeah. And if you get your hands wet, it sounds like something completely different. Yeah.